La gracia de Dios sea con ustedes. One of my favorite preacher prophets, William Sloan Coffin, who is pastor at Riverside Church, laments Stewardship Sunday and the giving of the stewardship sermon. He said, "Were I to join all of you in the pews, while one of you took my place in the pulpit, and were I to hear this new preacher announce a sermon on the subject of stewardship, I have to confess that my heart would not beat faster. I would wonder testily why churches always have to spoil everything by harping constantly on the need for more money. And then, of course, I would feel pangs of guilt for harboring such blasphemous thoughts. And I would pray for brevity on the part of the preacher." And so today, we will not harp on anything. We will not stir up pangs of guilt, as useful as they are at times. And I will be brief. Our stewardship theme this year is grateful. And as I reflected on that word, I thought, for most of my life, I've imagined gratitude as this mysterious force, as this kind of welling up of emotion in me that just kind of comes out of nowhere, unbidden. Some of you are acquainted with our grand dog, Coconut. You've maybe seen her in person or on Facebook. She actually belongs to our daughter. She's a sweet little poodle mix, and when Lauren works at a long shift at the hospital, we get to take care of Coconut. And so it was on a weekend one day, I guess it was in the fall, it was kind of a windy day, and somehow the front door on the parsonage had not gotten latched, and I walked downstairs and the door was wide open. So I checked on our two dogs. They're smart. They stayed in the house. But Coconut was nowhere to be found. I circled the block, calling out Coco's name. Nothing. I ran back into the house. There was nobody else home. I was on my cell phone calling, not calling Lauren, of course. And I got on the internet, and I was just about to post something online on our neighborhood site, and there was a knock at the door. Three little girls were standing on my front porch, sisters, and Coconut was on a makeshift leash fashioned out of their dad's belt. She wriggled her whole body and began licking me profusely. "Oh my gosh," I think I yelled. "Thank you so much. Where did you find her?" "She came in our backyard," said the oldest one, matter-of-factly. "We gave her milk, and then we walked her around. She seemed to like this house." Oh, in that moment, and you've been there, right? I mean, gratitude, it's like a waterfall. It just floods over you. Delight, surprise, relief, joy, all mingled together. And gratitude is all of that. But I've found it's not just that. If it were, it would be relatively rare. And it would be just completely out of our hands. And so I'm learning that gratitude is also something that we can choose. Gratitude can even be cultivated. And that's why we've kind of been inviting you informally to begin each day not with the latest news, not with the latest tweets or with your emails, but with thanksgiving. Before your feet hit the ground out of bed, give thanks. How's that going so far? Anybody trying that? Okay, working on it? All right. We encourage giving thanks, well aware that we can't be grateful for everything, right? We can't be grateful for everything that comes our way or for everything that's happening in the world. But in each moment, we can be grateful for something. And so we can develop habits and practices of gratitude that can change us, that can transform our communities for the better. When we offer our gifts here in worship, when we bring our pledge cards forward later, we are practicing gratitude. I recall a particularly lovely time when gratitude welled up around here. We were in the second half of worship, and I had served up a liturgical no-no in the bulletin. Do you remember that Sunday, Jolene?
Yes.
Yes. Did you wish that Sunday that we had a mic so that you could be talking to me during? Maybe if we get extra pledges this week, we can finally get those mics, right? So what I had done was, or what happened was, we had two pieces of music set one after the other with nothing in between them. One was a lovely piece of music, and then the second one was the offering, the time for the offering. So there's a little miscommunication, and we ended up taking up the offering during the first piece of music, right? And so now we had this second piece of music that was listed as the offering, but we had already taken up the offering. And it was getting close to the witching hour, getting close to noon, right? So what do you do? Pentecostals talk about receiving the anointing. They pray for the anointing before they preach. If you preach in a Pentecostal church, they will pray over you for the anointing. I stood, Lisa and I kind of talked, and I said kind of what I was going to do, and she was like, okay, good luck with that. And when I got up in front of you, I felt that anointing. I said, friends, we've just received our regular offering. This past week, perhaps you read that the mosque in Victoria burned to the ground. We don't know all the details, but it certainly looks suspicious. As we listen to Jasmine play this beautiful music, I invite you to dig down and bring forward an offering to help rebuild that mosque in Victoria. And you can just leave it on the communion rails. And I sat down, and the music began, and it was gorgeous, and no one moved. I was afraid to turn around. What was happening, apparently, was that you were reaching into your pocketbooks and your purses, and you were getting out your wallets and going into your backpacks because people began walking down the aisles. It was just a trickle at first, and then there were more and more and more of you, and there were children were dashing forward, and there were money and checks stacked up on the communion rails, falling off the communion rails onto the floor. We collected almost $2,000 that Sunday for the mosque in Victoria, and more came in afterwards. Somebody who was walking out of church said to me, "Wow, what a great idea to take up an offering for the mosque. I need to pay more attention to the e-connection next time so that I can be prepared." And I thought, yes, you do, but in this case, it really wouldn't have helped. So as I think back to that moment, there were several stars that had to line up for that kind of thing to happen. One basic one is, you can't ask for offerings like that every week, right? Yeah, they teach you that in seminary. Yeah. But more important than that, gratefulness grows in community. I may be a total ingrate the entire week long, but when I get here on Sunday morning, something begins to change in me. I become more grateful in this beloved community that is committed to social justice and to healing the world. And I've learned that gratefulness blossoms, especially among people like the good folks of University Church who are already practicing gratitude. Okay, just a few minutes ago, you may remember that we read a story from Luke's gospel about 10 lepers, and I know you're wondering, when are you going to get to that? So here we are. Leprosy covered a multitude of skin diseases in Jesus' day, but the horror of leprosy was not just the disease. It was the isolation, the fear, the loneliness, being barred from your community forever. And to be cured of leprosy was a completely unfathomable good fortune. It's an unusual miracle story. If you look back at it, there's no touching, no laying on of hands. There's no real talking about faith until the end. There's just this order, go to the priests and be healed on the way, which they did, except one. Nine did what they were told. The tenth one didn't. And he got the spotlight on him from Jesus, and he was a Samaritan. What a strange story. Now, we know who the nine are, right? They're pretty much you and me. The ones who are here, the ones who are following the rules, the ones who are trying to do what Jesus tells us to do, the ones who keep the church going. We have our pledge cards with us already filled out. We have the closing hymn already marked in our hymn books, right? We actually read the E connection and the E notes every week. We are steady disciples. You can count on us, and thank God in the highest heavens and all the angels and archangels for every single one of our steady disciples. Amen? But Jesus is directing our attention for just a moment to someone else. The tenth leper, the outlier. The one who is following his heart, the one whose thanksgiving stopped him in his tracks and spun him around and led him straight back to Jesus. I want some of what that tenth leper had. I want to do justice and love mercy and be ruled completely out of order. I want love for neighbor in me, not as an afterthought, but as the only thought. I want to be accused at least once in my lifetime of being a fanatic, especially on this Sunday. I want gratitude to fill me so full that I am remembered as wasteful and prodigal. I want to leave Stewardship Sunday singing, I've got plenty of nothing, and nothing's plenty for me because I left it all here in these baskets. How about you? Let us pray. Gracious God, as we continue to listen to music, to your voice, may our hearts be filled. May we find new wells of gratitude to draw from. For we pray in your name. Amen.